I've been trying to get there all week. I've been trying to get to the King, Pastor. Because I knew that's where my help was. It wasn't in man, it wasn't in things, it wasn't in ideas or principles, but it's in the King. And then God began to remind me that there is a King that dwelleth in me. And the battle started. Talking to my wife about this message, and she was reminded, she said, you know what? It's the message. You can't preach it unless you've been through it. I've had some stuff going on, and it's been in me. It hasn't been with anybody else. It's been with me. Oh, you a pastor, you're not supposed to be depressed. Catch a clue, homie. We get there. Oppressed. Beat up. Downtrodden. Discouraged. Stressed beyond measure. Pressed. Thrown down and knocked down. And know you've got to get back up. When I realized, Elder Michelle, that the monster in me was trying to show his ugly head. He was trying to create a mindset in me that was unimaginable. Go to the book of Romans, the 7th chapter. You know this is my favorite chapter. Not going to teach out of it, but we're going to read some stuff from it. This is my favorite chapter because it opened up a door in my life that brought hell. Say, well, the word don't do that. Okay. It don't, but it puts you in a position where God says, to whom much is given, much is required. And God requires something of you. God requires you to take the very word that he gave you and to stand on the principles and the concepts of it so that your life will be a light and not darkness.
Amen. Right. Come on.
In the 7th chapter of Romans, let's start with the 10th verse. Now, you have to understand something. Paul had just come to an understanding of the battle that was going on, the rev that was raging, didn't have to do with Peter or the other apostles, but the battle was in him. He was fighting a fight, and he received this revelation from God. And even today, men don't want to hear that they're responsible for their own actions.
Right. Come on.
Come on.
Yeah. Okay.
Come on.
You don't help me, we're going to be here a while. And in the 10th verse, and the commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, not sins, but sin, which is translated old nature or the Adamic nature, which means the old man, means self, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Now that's kind of strange coming from a man who was in the bottom of a ship when it was shipwrecked and wasn't worried about dying because he knew that his work wasn't done yet. This doesn't sound like a man who shook a viper off his head after he had already been injected with the venom. It doesn't sound like a man who has been in prisons, and that he'll tell you how he's been beaten by his own countrymen and spit on and, you know, and all these different things, and he's been hungry and been scantily clothed at times. He was in the coldness of the winter. He didn't have enough clothing on to keep his body warm. He's been hungered and been tried and tempted, been accused and persecuted by all men. But he's not blaming them. He said, for sin. Wherefore the law is holy, the commandment holy, and just and good. Yeah. Talking about the spirituality of God's word, it is good,
yeah,
and it is just. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But, usually when you hear the word but, something is coming after it.
Yeah.
But sin. Somebody say sin.
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 Somebody say, oh man.
Oh man.
Somebody say, oh nature.
Oh man.
Somebody say, me.
Me.
I heard a lot less me's than the rest of them. But sin, that it might appear or be seen to be sin, working death in me by that which is good, that sin by the commandment might become exceeding sinful. Whew. For we know that the law is what? Spiritual. But I am what? Carnal. Or I'm fleshly, or I'm sensual, sold unto sin. Here I am with this monster inside of me, and unfortunately, it was born in me.
Yeah.
I didn't have to go out and find it. It was born in me.
Yeah.
He said, because this thing that is in me, this, I call it a monster. Not monsters. Monster. This monster that is in me, for that which I do, I allow not. I don't want to be jealous.
Come on.
Yeah.
But it happens.
Yeah.
I don't want to be envious. But it happens. He said, there are things that are going on inside of me that I don't want to happen, but they happen anyway.
Amen.
Yeah.
For what I would, that I do not, but what I hate, that I do.
Yeah.
What the spiritual aspect or the spiritual strength or the spiritual part of my life tells me I shouldn't do, the monster in me wants to do.
Yeah.
When we were growing up, they talked about monsters, and monsters always created what? Fear. Destruction. We're worried about being destroyed from the outside, but God is trying to let us know we're going to be destroyed from the inside out if we don't get this monster under control.
Yeah.
Yes. 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 I'm not supposed to be proud. Let me read this. Whew. And then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good. When I take authority and dominion over the things that I know I shouldn't be doing, then the word of God is good. Now then there's no more, see this is the part I like, no more, now then there is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Meaning, basically, the animal in me is out of control.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what saints hate to admit? That we're out of control. Because if we admit that we're out of control, then our spirituality or our supernatural ability seem to be diminished by what people think about us.
Right.
Amen. He said, no more I do it, but sin that lives in me.
Yeah.
For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. That's why I like the word, because it will interpret itself. You don't have to get all super spiritual to interpret it. It will tell you what he means. He said, it dwell in me, for I know that in me that is in my flesh. He's talking about this old nature. He don't want to do nothing right.
Amen.
He don't want to serve God. And if he gets a chance, he'll take you off in another way.
Yes. Right.
He'll take your mind and control your mind.
Yeah.
I grew up believing that Satan afflicted me. Don't try to get mad at me. I grew up believing that the devil made me sick. I believe these things. But when I began to read and study, I found out that it wasn't the devil, because Jesus took the keys to death, hell, and the grave from him, leaving him powerless.
Right. Hallelujah.
But this is where I got in trouble, then, Pastor. There is one living in you who was anointed in the beginning.
Come on now.
And he's anointed now.
Yes.
And he tries to destroy your thoughts and create havoc in your heart and mess up your emotions and dictate to your feelings that God ain't with you. I have been through some stuff this week where I've absolutely been outright positively depressed. You don't believe me? Ask my wife. When I tried to put on a good show, when I was around people, I smiled and pretended to be happy and enjoying myself, when all the time I was miserable because there was a battle going on the inside of me for supremacy. Trying to dictate which life I was going to live. If I was going to live a life of depression or a life of happiness. If I was going to live a life of sadness or a life of joy. If I was going to live a life of persecution or a life of instruction and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Paul said, I see all this.
Come on now.
For to will is to present with me, but how to perform that which is good, ain't nowhere in the world I can figure it out. I can only figure out through the grace of God.
Yes.
For the good that I would do, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. The word evil there in the Greek is translated depraved in nature. That means when you allow your character to be swayed by jealousy and envy and strife and conflict and all those things which are manifestations of the flesh. Gotta keep going. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find in the law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. How is that possible? Because you can't go anywhere without this stuff.
Yeah.
It goes everywhere you go.
Yeah,
and I've been teaching this for quite a few years, but I didn't experience how powerful it was until the other morning. I'll tell you, I've been going through since I started doing this message, meditating on this message. And God's been watching, seeing if I was going to learn or glean anything from my circumstances.
Come on now.
Listen to me. I went to sleep the other night peacefully. In my sleep, I was in a fight. Listen to me. It wasn't no devil, because he can't get in this body.
Right.
This body is kept by the power of God.
Amen. Amen.
But there was a joker in there that was wreaking havoc. He said, oh, you think you got peace? The fight was so great, I was trying to get to my car, and I was fighting for my life. You want to know how real it was? I woke my wife up because I was jumping and moving and swinging and jumping around. And she grabbed me and she woke me up and said, you all right? What's going on? My back was hurting. My arms were hurting. I had a headache. I was tired, like I'd been in a struggle.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
That day I was on my laptop and I was researching some words and I heard the Lord say, now you know what the monster is.
Yeah.
Come on, Pastor.
He takes salt and turns it into high blood pressure.
Right. All right.
Yeah. He takes sugars, or I was reading, my wife and I were reading, drinking those juices, and for some strange reason, I put on my glass. I said, I'm going to read. I want to see how much sugar is in this juice. Mm-hmm. Just being curious, because I just saw a commercial about juice. So let me look and see how much sugar is in this juice. It has 71 grams of sugar and 72 grams of carbohydrates. Wow. With sugar, carbohydrates are just more sugars in a different form. But when it combines with the regular sugar, it creates... There's a monster in me, and he's doing everything he can to separate me from God. I'm going to close out this chapter with the 23rd verse. He said, but I see another law. In my members, warring is the law of my mind, and bringing me even to captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. But he said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man.
Yeah. Okay.
You know why people are falling by the wayside? Because they don't see him for who he is.
Yeah, man.
As long as we keep placing blame on our mothers,
come on,
and our fathers,
come on,
and our brothers,
yes,
and our sisters, and our uncles, and all that stuff, we're going to always miss out on what God has for us.
Yeah,
amen.
Amen. This monster in me attacks my emotions.
Amen. Amen.
Manipulates my feelings.
Yes.
Changes my principles and concepts, which I know are of God. Or make me go to the left when God is saying, go to the right. For surely he will use the very word that I have established in your life to try to destroy your life. But I, the Lord God, would say, steadfast and be unmovable, and abound or increase in the works of the Lord, knowing that it's not so much your works, but it's the manifestation of the life of God that is in you that I'm looking for. It's the manifestation of the character and the nature of God that I'm looking to see manifest itself in your life. There is a dying church instead of a dying world that needs to know that I am truly a reality and that I am alive and living and breathing faith in the lives of those that are broken, they're living, those that are discouraged, they're encouraged. I am he that is and was and is to come. Therefore, stand fast.
Yeah.
And having done all to stand, you keep standing.
Glory, hallelujah.
Oh, wretched man
come on now.
That I am.
My God.
We done put ourselves up on these pedestals.
Come on.
And we done created our own platform. Amen. And our own crown. Thessalonians makes this statement. For they sitteth in the house of God.
Yeah.
pretending that they are God.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's the monster.
Yes.
That's in us.
Yes, Lord.
The book of Revelation says there's going to be a monster that comes up out of the sea. There is. But it ain't going to be the one you're looking for. You're looking for a two-headed dragon. But it's already one in you. The word sea is translated in the italic and in the Greek in that verse, people or nation. There's going to be a beast that's going to come up out of the church. That's going to be unruly. That's going to be not law-abiding. That's going to be fighters, conflictors, haters of their brethren, accusers of the brethren.
Come on now.
Because it's a monster, there's a beast in us that's trying to rear up his head and control our lifestyle.
Amen.
Paul said, oh, wretched man I am, don't matter how much anointing I got in my life, I still got the deal and contend with me.
Hallelujah. For I was with the first man, and I walked with him in the cool of the day. And he chose to betray me. He chose to commit high treason. And he passed that treasonous nature on to you. But I have sent forth the second Adam, and he has my nature and my character, the nature of God, the nature of love, the nature of peace. That nature, the natures are in the man. Then choose ye this day whom ye shall serve. Ye shall either serve me and my word, or ye shall serve yourself. There's the danger therein. For man will not look upon himself through my word, but he wants to look at himself through his own imagination. And that's why many are falling by the wayside. But look unto me, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. I am not a lying man that I should lie, but I have come to tell you the truth. I have come to bring you life. I have come to bring you my word. I've come to bring you myself salvation. Those that walk with me shall see me. Those that walk not with me shall not see me, saith the Lord.
There is a monster that's trying to travail in us. God has called us to something far more greater than we could ever imagine for the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, but what you say to me don't affect me. What I think about what you say is what affects me. Because of the monster or the beast that sent me. But I got good news for you. Go to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Closing with this. These verses. The 4th chapter and the very first verse says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we've obtained mercy, we faint not. Jump over to the 7th verse. It says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. 2 Corinthians 4:7. But we have this treasure. What treasure? For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. Ourselves, your servants. That's the treasure we have. Christ in us, the hope of glory. We have this treasure in these frail, the word earthen there is translated frail, in these frail bodies. It's not talking about your body being frail, but it's talking about your spirit, your flesh being frail. Thank you. could have chose another path, it might have been easy. But I never would have been what God ordained that I become. He goes on to say that the excellency of the power or the force may be of God and not of my frailty. That it may be of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is in us, and not of ourselves, which is also in us.
Yeah.
Bikobo, ya. Yandari akomo fi. Yandari akomo fi. Yandari aka. Hekiro lobo shandari aka. Yekiro lobo shiandari aka. Yandari akomo fi. Yandari aka. Hekiro lobo shianda. Yakama. Yero lobo shia. Ikero lobo. Ikero.
Hear this word, for it is truth in the truth and the light. For there are hidden forces that are battling against you to separate your praise and your worship from me. But in the midst of all your storms and your aggravation and your distresses, acknowledge me in all those things. For your footsteps are led and ordered by me. And if you stand fast in that which I have placed in your heart, your life will be an example, and you shall shine as a beacon on a hill, and the light shall light up the darkness, and you shall show forth the very mercies and the very power and the love of God. For in this earth there is a love, but it is a filial love, a love that is only given based on conditions. But this love that I say unto thee should never be based on conditions, but is based on the very power and the word of God. So my children, understand this one thing. Realize and understand that which is within you. For my servant said, I must die daily. And the only way we must survive, and we will survive, is if we crucify our flesh or the old nature on a daily experience, saith the Lord.
Amen.
I started quoting these scriptures to myself this week to help me get through it. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. How many hear me? We are troubled on every side, but we're not distressed. We are perplexed. How many of you? We are perplexed. But not in despair. Persecuted. But not forsaken. Cast down. But not destroyed. Because we have learned to always bear about in the Bible the dying of Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. It's going to cost you something to live this life. It's going to cost you something to let the character and the nature of God manifest itself in your life. It's going to cost you something to love when folks hate you. It's going to cost you something to pray for those that despitefully use you. It's going to cost you something to have compassion for people that don't know what compassion is. It's going to cost you something to encourage the very people that persecute you and afflict you and attack you. It's going to cost you something. You know what it's going to cost you? It's going to cost you self. And you've got to be willing at the time of your intervention to let it go. God is raising up an army of believers for the kingdom today that are going to be steadfast in the word of God, and they're not going to be moved by conditions or circumstances or situations. They're not going to be moved by their emotions or their feelings. They're going to do what it is that God has ordained and called them to do. And the word of God says, well, it has been preordained or predestinated that we be conformed, transformed, changed by the renewing of our mind into the sons of God. I'm like you. I get tired of people. Get tired. I used to tell my mother, Mother Oliver, my brothers, we have a big family. They're getting on my nerves. My mother said, little one, you ain't got no nerves. Wait till you get my age. Wait till you done been through a few things before you try to tell somebody how to make it. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the very word of their testimony. What was their testimony? That which they had swim through their afflictions and their persecutions. They went through them, but yet they didn't forget to give God praise. Father, I'm in this storm, but I'm going to praise you anyway. Father, it's raining all just, it's just raining on my side of the street and not on their side, but I'm going to praise you anyway. Father, I see folks blessed that shouldn't be blessed, but I'm going to praise you anyway. Father, my finances ain't right, but I'm going to praise you anyway. Father, my body is racked with pain, but I'm going to praise you anyway. Lord, they told me I'm going to die of cancer, but I'm going to praise you anyway, because I know that you are a healer. Verse 11, I'm closing. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest, listen to this, in our mortal flesh. Not your inward best, but your, notice I said your inward mess, but your mortal flesh. We had better come to a place in God where we recognize that it's not the work that we do, it's the life that we live. Amen. And I try to do good, Brother Tony. Evil is always present. And there's only one other person besides God that is omnipresent. You. You sleep with you. You bathe with you. We done got to the place. We even argue with ourselves. Because he always wanted to be a God. That's why he waited till the sixth chapter of Genesis to do his mess and finally have a son in his own image and not in the image that God told him to do. Create in my image after my likeness. But he wasn't satisfied. And guess what he created? Buses. And if we don't get control of it, he will control us. And you will find yourself hated, discouraged, broken, disappointed, confused, manipulated, jealous, envious, spiteful, truthful. grapes. Do I need to go on? But the fruit of the Spirit. Not the fruits, but the fruit.
Yes.
Is love.
Come on now.
And out of love comes joy and peace and everything that you can possibly imagine. But it takes a different type of character and nature to love folks. Because you have to come to a place, the man of God was saying, that you can find some good in everybody. If you can find some good in everybody, then you can love them the way God loved us. Shoot, I'm ecstatic that he found some good in me, but I'm still looking for it. Sister Denise, if it wasn't for the power of God in my life, I could take the word mess and change his whole intent. God knew there was a monster going to be in us. That's why he gave us all our own measure of faith. He gave us our own measure of faith. And I was talking to my wife. I like to say this. That measure of faith is a homing beacon. So God can track us down and redeem us back unto himself.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
Because the just shall live by faith and not by sight. Hey, I'd love to be able to stand up here and tell you how easy it is to live for the Lord. But I've been lying to myself first. And if I lie to me, I'm most certainly going to lie to you. Amen. We have to make up in our minds. What Paul was saying at the end of the book of Romans, in the 7th chapter, I'm paraphrasing, it's a verse, you can read it on your own. He was saying that there's not two different people in me operating at one time, but there's one person in me trying to destroy the mind of God that's in me. You cannot serve two masters. Satan ain't never been your master. Once you give your heart and life to God, he was no longer your master. This Nancy, I didn't realize what flesh was till I gave my heart and life to God. Never was sick. Had everything I wanted. Could not find trouble. But I remember the time we went to Chicago, or we did a shoot someplace. When I was on the television crew, we did a shoot, a 24-hour shoot. And instead of going home, getting in bed, pastors, I got in my car to go to a cabaret party. Been up 24 straight hours. Flesh say, you ain't about to miss this party. You've been waiting on this cabaret for the last 2.5 weeks. You're not going to miss it. So I'm going to the party. Fell asleep on Milwaukee and 2nd. You know the big pylons right there? Plowed my Sports Fury. Didn't have that thing a year, was it? Brand new Sports Fury. Into the car. Totaled the car. But let me tell you how flesh operates. I climbed out the window with my head bleeding, with one thing on my mind: get to the party on time. Got to the party, my buddy saw me, they took me in the bathroom, got me cleaned up, and I partied like it wasn't no tomorrow. When I woke up the next morning, I had this terrible headache, and I went to look for my car out in front of the house, and my mother said, "Fool, you didn't come home with it." When I went to look to check on my car, it was the whole front end looked like an accordion. And I got out and went and partied. If you don't get control over you, you figure it out. I made it a point of never trying to preach people into hell. Because one, two things you know for sure, where you headed. You may not know how you're going to get there, but you know where you're headed. Everyone stay.